Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is September 10th, 2014, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our class in the book of Yirmiyahu, Sefer Yirmiyahu. I think this is our 21st or 22nd class already
in Sefer
Yirmiyahu, and we'll continue till we finish Yirmiyahu, and then we'll have to decide what we're gonna study next. But today we pick up in chapter 22, where we are continuing to discuss the Galut, the exile of Yechoniah, who was the king. Tidkiyahu actually took over for him, as we noted last week and the week before, but we're sort of tying up some loose ends. And then we are going to look at another prophecy, the vision, the prophecy of the good figs and the bad figs. Okay, so, but today's prophecy, we start in chapter 22, verse 23. And we see that this is sort of this is the fifth prophecy in chapter 22. Chapter 22 is a collection of prophecies on the kings of Yehuda. There's a whole essay in the Mikra LeYisrael version, publication of Yirmiyahu. There's a whole essay of regarding these five prophecies. And this is the fifth and final prophecy in chapter 22 about Malchei Yehuda, about the kings of Yehuda. And
but it doesn't say which king of Yehuda.
Well, we're going to see in a second. We're going to start in chapter 22, verse 23, where we say as follows. Where it is clear there. It's a good point you make, but it is clear there who he's talking about. He says as follows.
Which
pasuk? 23.
It says, okay. Hold on one second. That is not right. Hold on one second. We're going to start, in 24. Chayaninu Mashem, ki im yihyeh Chanyahu ben Yehoyakim melech Yehuda, chotam al yad yemini, ki misham et, what does that say? Misham et kencha. Okay? So here we're talking about who. Have we ever seen this person, Kanyahu, before?
Yechanyahu.
Right. It's the same person. It's a question of whether or not it's a nickname or it's some sort of negative comment, like a diminutive that Yirmiyahu's using as an insulting way of against Yehoyachan. Yehoyachin, the Rabbi Lau says, he says that it's a, he ridicules, he says, next Yirmiyahu ridicules the young king, calling him Chonyah. Well, this may be simply a different form of the name, it may also be an insulting diminutive intended to point out the exiled king's inexperience and lack of importance.
Yeah, but is Yechanyahu, is Yehoyachin?
Yeah, here we're talking about Yehoyachin, which is
well, he said Yechaniah.
Which is here's what the Dot Mikra says. Kanyahu hu shem acher shenikra Yehoyachin, vuhu kitzur shel shem Yechaniahu. So it's all the same.
I see.
It's all the same. Hamatzurim kamot shonim mikra. This turns up lots of different places. In Tanakh and in our story, Achrei Hagalut Nevuchadnezzar Melech Bavel et Yechaniahu Melech ben Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda. We saw this right. Nevuchadnezzar puts in Yechaniahu. Nahagu lekro lemelech shem chadash kisheela al kisei hamalchut. So his name was Yehoyachin. His name was Yechaniahu, and then it was Yehoyachin, it becomes Yechoniahu. Apparently it was customary for a king to take a new name or a new version of the same name when he became king. This also could be something that was imposed on them by Nebuchadnezzar as a way of symbolically saying, I'm in charge of you. I'm going to even give you
new identity.
We saw this with Tzidkiyahu, the same thing happened. Shemelech mechuneh b'shnei shemot, kigon Yedidya Shlomo, right? Shlomo's name was Shlomo, also known as Yedidya, or Azariah and Uzziyahu. So we have a lot of examples in the Bible where a king has more than one name, Eliakim and Yehoyakim, and last week we saw Matanya and Tzidkiyahu. L'fizeh nireh sheshmo rishon sheben Yehoyakim shemalach tachtav haya Yechonyahu. So now the Dotmaker is unraveling this whole thing. First, his name was Yechonyahu. U'kishe'alah al kisei ha-machut kar'u lo Yehoyachin. Then when he became king, his name was changed to Yehoyachin. Shedome l'shem aviv, which was similar to his father. And then here we have Yirmiyahu.
Which father? What's the name of the father?
His father's name was Yehoyachin. So it became Yehoyachin. And then we're saying here that now Yirmiyahu is calling him Kanyahu, which is either a nickname or sort of something insulting, saying to him, you're nobody, you're nothing, right? You don't call a king by a nickname. If you respect the king, you don't call him by the nickname. Here he's calling him by his nickname. And then he says, if you were a chotam, what's the chotam? The signet ring, right? If you were the signet ring on my right hand, I would tear you off even from there. So what does he mean by that?
What he doesn't like him.
Yes, that's true. Why does the signet? You're right. Why does the signet ring?
He doesn't recognize his power.
Right. He's saying right. The signet ring is everything for the king, right? Because whenever the king wanted to make a new decree, he made a decree, and it had to be sealed, right, with the Chotam HaMelech. We're most familiar with that from. Right, Megillat Esther from Achashverosh. But the difference is, this is how probably Achashverosh got into trouble. The Dot Mikra points out that the king never gave away his signet ring. Right. You never give it to anybody. And he says, you never even take it off your finger. It sounds like the kings would keep it on their finger all the time. Because if it ever gets in the hands of someone else, then they could make a decree in the name of the king, and it could wreak havoc. That's what happened with Achashverosh. He gave it to Haman, right. Then he gave it to Mordechai. And what's the impression we're left about Achashverosh? The impression we're left with Achashverosh is that he was a weak king. He let people manipulate him. First, he let Haman manipulate him. Then he let Esther manipulate him. The fact that he's willing to give away his signet ring is a symbolic way of the Megillat Esther telling us early on in the story that this is a weak king and that he's easily manipulated. So, because again, the signet ring is very, very important. It represents the entire power structure of the king. So Yirmiyahu says, even if you, right, if you were the signet ring on my right hand, I would tear you off. I don't recognize your authority. You're a nobody. And I'll read you from the Dot Mikra. He says as follows: Afilu haya kanyahu kichotam shal yamini. I would take your signet ring off my finger. I would never use it. Meaning, even if you gave me, listen to this, even if you gave me your powers, I would never use it. Right? That's he's given the executive powers. I would never use it. Why? It's embarrassing. I'd be degraded. Right, to even be at all some way connected with you, even if it means having the power of the king, I don't want it. It's embarrassing. Urimiza Ramaz Yirmiyahu, and here Yirmiyahu is giving him some sort of hint. Shelo hoda b'malchuto shel Yechonyahu, right? That he is not accepting, he's not acknowledging the monarchy, the rule of Yechonyahu. Acharei dorot achnav. But this is interesting. Now look what happens. Let's quickly jump. Let's read a little bit more, and then we'll see that there's a very interesting turnaround here. So unataticha biyad mevakshei nafshecha uviyad asher atayagur mepnehem uviyad mevuchanetzem elak pavel uviyad akazdim. I will deliver you into the hands of those who seek your life, into the hands of those you dread, into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar above El, and into the hands of the Chaldeans. V'italti otcha ve'et imcha asheiladetcha al ha'aretz. I will hurl you and the mother who bore you. We already seen her. She's also an unsavory character. But she was a supportive of his
bad. According to this, the only thing she did wrong was that she had him.
No, we had seen it in the other chapter, in the last chapter.
I wasn't here.
I will hurl you and the mother who bore you into the other land where you were not born. There you shall both die. They shall not return to the land that they yearn to come back to. And then...
You know, it sounds to me as if he's... There's something under the story that he has, they're not saying, that he hates this guy for other reasons, and...
You think there's something we don't know about?
That we don't know about.
Do you generally subscribe to those theories? What do we call those theories?
I know what you're saying.
I can't think of the word. Yeah. Are you suspicious of people?
I'm not suspicious. I mean, but...
Conspiracy theories?
That's the word.
I think it's some sort of conspiracy theory. Okay, could be. All right, let's keep going. Then he says, oh, maybe that's why. Because you've been working with the IRS all these years. You don't trust people. Yeah. There I go. Okay, that makes sense.
I don't believe anybody.
Right? Exactly.
I don't believe anybody anymore.
Okay. Ha'etzev nivze nafutz ha'ish hazeh konyahu im kli... Ein chefetz bo madua hu talu hu vizaro hu shlechu al haaretz asher lo yado.
That's strange.
Is this man, Konya, a despised, broken vessel, a vessel no one wants? Why were he and his children taken and hurled into a land they knew not?
I wasn't right? here this to guy is he a bad guy?
Yeah, he's a bad guy. He's the same
what
as...
What is this word? It's a nafot.
So how can they exile a king?
The Nebuchadnezzar came, they took over, and they kicked them out.
Right.
And they marched them off into them. And remember, the king and all of the leaders are marched off to Babylon. And all that's left behind, we're going to see this a little bit later, all that's left behind are sort of the tier two people in society.
What does it mean, Etzev
Nivzenafut? It's Etzev Nivzenafut.
Etzev
is, well, here it says it's... It's like a pot. Nivze nafutz. Nivze is
bazui.
Discuss and nafutz is broken.
So what is
it's like a broken vessel? He's broken. He's done. He's finished.
Oh, he's like an etzev nivze nafutz.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Because he didn't say you are. He said
I am. It's a rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question. He's nothing. And then we'll just finish a couple more chapters. Eretz, Eretz, Eretz. Oh, land, land, land. Shim'i divar Hashem. Hear the word of the Lord. Kama Hashem, kitvu et ha'ish hazeh ariri. Record this man as if he were childless. Gever lo yitzlach b'yamav. One who shall never be... without succession, one who shall never be found except when his reign is over. It's being cut off. Ki lo yitzlach mizaro ish yoshev al kisei David. For no man of offspring shall be accepted to sit on the throne of David. Umoshel od bihuda. And to rule again in Yehuda.
Is he ariri and lo yitzlach or...
It's as if.
Or
as if.
He is as if.
As if. Meaning his children will not continue after him. His reign is over. Now, the problem with this... Problem with this is a little pasuk, which we find in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 23, which you could find on page 12, we call them the 12 minor
maybe
prophets.
Maybe that's what we should learn next.
Maybe.
Maybe in...
Where are you?
I That's the beginning. I don't know where.
So we are looking in Haggai chapter 2, verse 23. Okay, let's see if we could pick up anything interesting in this pasuk. It says, "Bayom hahu neum Hashem tzivaot."
Just a minute.
Chapter 2.
1,382.
You said chapter 2 is on 84. Okay.
No, it's 1382.
1382.
Okay.
1382.
Right.
It's the end. Bayom hahu. Last pasuk in Haggai. Bayom hahu. Neum Hashem Tzivaot. Ekachacha Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel Avdi Neum Hashem. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O my servant, Zerubbabel son of Shaltiel. Visamticha kachotam, and make you as a signet, ki v'cha v'charti neum Hashem tzivaot. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord.
Was he really installed?
So first of all, what's the relation? What do you see as a relation between this pasuk and what we just learned?
It wouldn't have a child, so somebody else. It wouldn't have anybody to inherit, so somebody else will.
Well, let's back up first. Remember, what did Yirmiyahu say? Yirmiyahu said, even if you gave me your
signet ring.
Your signet ring, your chotam. Look at the pasuk here. Uh-huh. God says, I'm going to make you, Zerubbabel, like a chotam, which means I'm going to make you a ruler. Right?
Right.
So Yirmiyahu's parting words, right, which convey the fall of Yehuda and the group of people leaving Babel, including Yechoniah, three generations later, Koresh, this is also another connection to Megillat Esther, right? Who, because Koresh was Esther's grandson, or son, right, of Persia, ascends to power, and he allows Bnei Yisrael to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And heading the people who go back is Zerubbabel, who is who? The son of Shaltiel, who is the son of Yechoniah.
Where does it say?
Doesn't say it in here. Okay? And so, it's interesting. Even though, right, you sort of wonder, even though, let's see what's going on. Yirmiyahu says, your offspring are finished. But it didn't happen. His offspring weren't finished. A couple of generations later, they're back leading the Jewish people. And the same word, right, connects the psukim.
So the klala didn't hold.
It seems like the klala didn't hold. I want to see some of the commentary on that, but correct. It seems that the klala didn't hold. So let's go back to the commentary on Yirmiyahu 22 and see that klala and see what we're supposed to make of it. Chapter 22.
24.
Pasuk 26,
right?
The klala is in 29, isn't it? Can we see the klala in 29?
29 is the end.
Right. 30. Kama Hashem kitfu et ha'ish hazeh ariri. Right, that this person is going to be childless. Right? I'll read you the Mikra Yisrael. He raises an interesting question. First of all, he says as follows. Kosh, lo hispik bia, I'm sorry. His point is that Yechoniah was only the king for 3 months.
Okay.
Says as follows. Here it is. Reshit. First of all, the first problem. Kashe lahavin ma garam ledvarim hacharifim shel Yirmiyahu lehoyachin lozaro. This is really... What you were alluding to, right? What is he now so upset about? Right, he's only been king for 3 months. How much damage
could he have done
in 3 months? Already, by the way, he's already a puppet of Bavel. Yeah. Why would Yirmiyahu even blame him for anything? Galut v'nituk shoshela tamalucha v'rehu melech kishlosha chadashim bilvad. Kishir ha'ir netuna b'matzur. Right, the city's already surrounded. There's a siege around the city. He didn't have time to possibly do something so wrong to raise this level of anger by the prophet. So maybe, Ron, you're right. Maybe you're there's something going on here. Maybe he used to bully him in school. I don't know. But whatever the problem is, it doesn't. That's the first question he has here. Koshi zem machmir lenochach hayachas achiyuvi lo hoyachin b'ktuvim achirim b'sefer kigon perikchav dalet. It even gets, this probably even becomes more, is compounded if you think about the positive ways that the hoyachin is talked about in other books of the Tanakh, and it says especially chapter 24, which we're going to see in a minute. So we have a king's only been there for 3 months. The city is in siege. He really has no power. How much good could he have done to try to fix the problem, and how much bad could he have done? And plus, we have other places in the Bible. We have other places in the Bible where Jehoiachin is talked to in a positive way. Now, he's not punishing him. He's just taunting him. God is punishing him. Right? He's being kicked out, right, in our understanding of what's going on, by Nebuchadnezzar, because this is God kept promising this trouble coming from the north, etc. But why would Yirmiyahu taunt him? Maybe Yirmiyahu should have a little bit of some sort of compassion on the guy. He's been put in an impossible situation, only been there for 3 months.
He's always been a very nice guy, Yirmiyahu.
Okay, so that's number one. And then he says, Shenit, Hanavua hitkashma leprateha. So he says some of this nevua came true. Yehoyachin achen hugla. Uvanav lo yashru al kisei David ba'atid.
So who was after him?
Right,
really, this guy?
He was kicked out, but his son didn't take over. Umikan o olah hachashad shelefanenu nevuah la'achar hamaaseh. So he says that this is a nevuah written sort of after the fact, meaning
who is Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel?
No, that's his grandson. That's the grandson.
So you said Tzidkiyahu came after Yechaniyahu.
Yeah, immediately. This is generations later. So part of it happened, but part of it didn't happen. So what he wants to say is that this was written after the fact, meaning the fact that Jehoiachin was kicked out and he was exiled retroactively proved that he was a bad guy. So then Yirmiyahu could write all these negative things about him.
So what happened between Tzidkiyahu and Zerubbabel?
Galut.
Who
were the kings at that point? I'm not sure.
If it's not from his children, because...
We have to see who comes. I'm not sure 100% who comes next.
We know the Chaltiel is
Zichonius. Elsewhere in the Tanakh.
Azoyes.
So I have to go back and look at the list of kings. Okay, so that's what's going on here in terms of this prophecy. And it's interesting that the prophecy of his sons not ruling comes true, but ultimately, as we read in the Pasuk in Haggai, his grandson does become the ruler, and here he deals with it again. Yochsal Yirmiyahu al yedei mitnagdav shel Zerubbabel kedei lavot mishkal negdi l'divrei Haggai kashel haniach sheseder hadivrim haya hafuch shechagai amar v'samticha kichotam la'achar shedivrei Yirmiyahu hayu yodim lo. Another reason why they want to suggest that this was sort of after the fact was that it seems strange that Haggai would say what he said about Yechoniah's grandson if he knew that Yirmiyahu had said it wasn't going to happen. So it could be that this prophecy of Yirmiyahu wasn't said out loud, or it came a little bit later. It's hard to know. Sharei divrei Yirmiyahu heim hahefech mikavanat ha'idut shel Chagei l'Zerubbabel. Right? Yirmiyahu says that your children are never going to become, your offspring will never rule again. It's the very opposite of what Chagai said. So
Zerubbabel was the Navi.
No, was the
was a king in the time of Haggai.
Yeah, he's the one who's bringing, and he's the one who goes back.
And Haggai was after Yirmiyahu, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Uh-huh.
That's why we have a problem. Now, read what the Dot Mikra says. Also, just to understand the pasuk, He said when it says in pasuk in verse 30, where it says, "Kitvu et ha'ish hazeh ariri," record this man as without succession. So the dot mikra says, "Bimei kedem hayu hamishpachot roshmot kitave yachas." Right back in ancient times, the families used to have
family tree,
right? A family tree, some sort of list, right? Sheduk motehem matzanu b'mikra. We have some examples of them in the Torah, right? We have Eile Shemot, this ben this, this the son of this. We have these uveyichud b'mishpachot hamelucha. This was especially true for the kings. Ve'omer Yirmiyahu la'Yehudim. So Yirmiyahu was saying to the Jews, sheichtevu b'chtav hayacha shel mishpachat hamelucha acharei Hashem Kanyahu. That in these books that you're writing, after the name Kanyahu, you should write Ariri, which means Chashuch Yiladim.
But has, you said that he did have.
Right. Kimo v'anu chalil chariri. We have this pasuk also in Bereshit. Ulam eina kavana shichanyahu yihyeh ariri mamash miladim. It doesn't mean that he literally had no children. We know he had children. Sharei hayu lo shmona banim. We know from Divrei Hayamim that he had eight children. Ela sheyeh ariri miyoresh.
Melucha.
Right. He's not going to have someone who's going to succeed him. Gever lo yitzlach biyamav. Lo yitzlach she'enu matzliach kamor v'haya lo titzlach. Ko kli yotzer alav lo yitzlach. It's not going to be successful. Uvarur milashon hakatuv shemudubar biyirushat hamelucha. It's clear.
Is that why we use the word lo yitzlach?
It sounds that way, right? Hahove shel yoshev u'moshel ba b'mkom shem apol ki lo yitzlach ish mizaro lashevet al kisei David v'lumshol od b'yehuda v'hashvei v'einav. Okay, so it's not going to happen. We're still left with this problem of
does it mean none of his descendants or just sons? Like,
well,
grandsons?
It one way to mean it means your sons, right? It could mean your sons, but the language of the pasuk is ki lo yitzlach mizaro, which means your offspring. So it's not so clear how we manage to make sense of the nevuah in Haggai with the nevuah here. I'll look more into what some of the commentaries say about Haggai. Actually, here is the answer by Rashi. Rashi is troubled by the same thing we are. How do you make sense of this? Rashi says as follows. This is Rashi
on Rashi for Haggai.
This is Rashi in Haggai. Yeah. Ki lefi shenigzar al yichonya aviv chai ani im yechonyahu ben Yehoyakim chotam al yadi. The pasuk that we read, I swear that if Yehoyakim was a signet ring on my finger, misham et kancha, I would take it off. The Omer Shaman also says kitvu et aisha ze ariri, that you should say that this person is childless, that he's not going to have any children. Lamadnu sheho ila lo teshuvato.
Ah, so he made a tshuva.
He did tshuva. You're really right, Marilyn. He did tshuva. Something changed.
Okay.
Right? The circumstances, you suggested one way, but the circumstances under which the first nevuah was given changed. Meaning that if you are the way you are now, none of your offspring will ever, but you could change. Ho ila lo tshuvato v'nolad lo zerubavel. You're really right. And after, you're right. This person was born, you hit it on the head. This person was born after. This prophecy was given, and later Zerubbabel was born, and Zerubbabel was born later, and there was tshuva done, and so it was fine. Okay? So that's the answer to the question. Okay? So that's the traditional answer to the question. The less traditional answer to the question is like we saw in the Mikra Yisrael, is that this could have been some sort of a prophecy which was given or revealed a little bit later after the fact, because again, why would Yirmiyahu take such a hard line So only retroactively, once he saw that he was really kicked out and he wasn't going to come back, did he write this. But then Haggai saw the tshuva of the king, and so the grandson of the king ultimately does go back. What we'll do next week is we'll see part of the problem that we raised was, again, why is Jehoiakim treated so difficultly by Yirmiyahu, and we'll see that that in fact he's referred to in a positive way in chapter 24, and which again just adds to the question. And after that, we're going to talk about the next main section is going to be discussion of the debate between the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and the Jews of Babel.